Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our coming Lord and Savior Jesus. His joy be with you as well. From the Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 35, again, these beautiful words that must have been so inspiring for the exiles in Babylon. God promises, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunts of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a mighty highway, and a highway will be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. And no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." This is God's word. Please be seated. Have you ever noticed how almost any sports movie you watch has one thing in common? And you might be watching Hoosiers or We Are Marshall or The Mighty Ducks or Facing the Giants. And they all have that one scene in common, don't they? When the coach gives that inspiring pep talk. When the team is down on the scoreboard and the players are bruised and beaten and have lost all hope, it always seems as though the coach comes through with just the right words and puts together a pep talk that brings courage and strength to the team again to keep them playing on. And usually in these sports movies, it's enough to even have them overcome a deficit to win the big game. Don't you wish life could be like one of those sports movies? When the world is up and you're down, when your circumstances have sapped your strength and they make you afraid to play on, when life has you bruised and beaten up, don't you wish someone would just call the timeout and call the team together and give you just that pep talk that you need to turn the tide in your life? Well, the truth is, there is someone like that. And by being here today in worship, you have answered his call to take a time out and to get together with the team and by the power of his word to find the strength and the courage that you need to keep going, keep fighting. Our Old Testament reading today is essentially God's pep talk to the Jewish exiles. And it's the best kind of pep talk. It's not the kind of pep talk where he says, "Here's what you gotta do, you gotta buck up, here's what you gotta do to win the game, you gotta win one for the Gipper, now get out there and..." No, it's not that kind. In this pep talk, he's telling us what he is going to do for us. "Strengthen your weak hands," he says. "Make firm your feeble knees. Be strong and fear not. Your God will come to save you." These words were first addressed to a people that were definitely down on the scoreboard and battered and beaten up. The Jews were languishing as exiles in Babylon, far away from the homeland they loved. Back home, the land of Israel was once so full of life, just teeming with people and plants and prosperous. But now it had become a ruinous desert. The lush valley of Sharon had become like the desert of the Arabah. The land wastes and withers away, unattended by those to whom God had originally given it, and now only the jackals live there. Its highways and its byways are deserted. There's no one left to travel anymore. Well, there's no place left to go. And it was, after all, their own fault. Through the prophets, God had warned them time and again against their sins and what the consequences of those sins would be. How many times did he say to them through the prophets, "Don't worship the false gods. Do not become secure in your wealth. Do not ignore the plight of the needy. Do not give me lip service when your heart is far from me." But they just wouldn't listen. So they got exactly what they had coming to them, namely the Babylonians, who utterly destroyed Israel and Jerusalem in a vicious attack, and the Israelites who survived that attack were taken to Babylon as exiles, away from the land they loved. And their plight is a picture of our plight in a world that is not, it's just not what God really meant it to be for us. Remember, Paul says in the letter to the Romans that it's not just people, it's not just us who are paying the price of sin, but that the entire creation has been subjected to frustration because humanity chose a path of rebellion against the Creator. And so we got exactly what we have coming to us. We were banished from the home that God intended for us in paradise. And now we are exiles here in this very strange land, far from home, a wilderness, a dry desert where we now have to eke out a living as best we can, where we have to cope with weeds and thistles and droughts and natural disasters and blindness and deafness and birth defects and AIDS and Alzheimer's and sorrows and sadnesses and setbacks of all kinds. Of course, it's our own fault, isn't it? It's the price of sin in the world. But it's not how it's supposed to be. And you know, sometimes I think we forget that. In many parts of the world, people feel the curse of sin a lot more than we do, I think. For them, life is so hard, their comforts are so few, their suffering is so great. But for the Christians who live in those parts of the world, those difficulties and those trials only heighten and hone their sense of hope and joy in the promises of God. Like some Christians I met in a shelter for the poor in Jamaica. These people have absolutely nothing in the world. They eat out of the city garbage dump. And yet, and I think in part because of their suffering, they cherish the promises of God so much more than I do even. Their hope is so evident in the Lord. Frankly, we have lived in a time and in a place where we have been shielded from the worst of the curse. You know, for a world that has been under a curse, life hasn't been that bad for us. We have prospered in ways that are just unparalleled in human history. For weeds, we now have Roundup. For diseases, we've got doctors and drugs. For pain, we have pain blockers. For strained marriages, we have marriage counselors. Yeah, it still involves some sweat to put some food on the table, but now with air-conditioned tractors and combines and offices and workplaces, not as much sweat as it used to take. For death, we have hospice, we have drugs, we have embalming, we have beautiful funeral homes. All of these things are blessings. But they can also have the effect of blunting the full force of sin's curse in our lives. And that can be a detriment to our spiritual lives. It has a way of dulling our sense of hope for something better. We find ourselves, well, kind of like some of the Jews in Babylon. After they had been there a while, they got integrated into society. It wasn't all that bad for them. They had food, they had clothing, they had security, they had houses and neighbors. And so they settled in and they worshiped the gods of the Babylonians and they adapted and they stopped yearning for something better. They stopped yearning for their homeland. They started feeling more like residents than refugees. And I think that happens to us too. We get too comfortable in this world. We don't feel the full effect of the curse of sin in our lives because we figured out all kinds of ways to block it. So every once in a while, I think God in our lives will visit us with some trouble or tragedy or trial to make us once again feel the full impact of sin's curse and remind us that after all, we are still exiles in a fallen world, and to rekindle in us a sense of hope for our homeland that the Creator always intended for us. What does Paul say in Romans 8? The creation was subjected to frustration in the hope that it would again be set free. And in Romans 5, he says that our sufferings ultimately produce hope. And, of course, the promises also produce hope as the gospel holds them up before our eyes. And what a beautiful promise it is that Isaiah paints here in this text. God restores his ruined world with new life. The wilderness and the wasteland blossom and rejoice, bursting forth in streams of water and new growth. The land that was devastated by Babylon's siege and occupation would again be renewed and restored. Lebanon and Carmel and Sharon, whose lushness had been turned into a desert, would again see the glory of the Lord. And in a reversal of the death and the violence of the Babylonian invasion, now the blind can see. The lame leap like a deer. The deaf people hear. The mute people sing. And all of these promises are fulfilled in the coming of Christ. We read it today in Matthew chapter 11. The blind, as Jesus told the disciples, go tell John what you see. The blind are receiving their sight. The lame are walking. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf can hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the good news preached to them. Do you see what those words mean? Jesus didn't just perform miracles to put on a show or to impress the audience, like some kind of a street magician. But his miracles are the first installments on creation's renewal under Christ. It's already happening. The renewal of the creation has begun. Look what's happening. Blind people are seeing. Deaf people are hearing. Lame people are leaping like the deer. The mute are singing because of Christ. The good creation is making a comeback. The future is already intruding upon the present because of Jesus, who said, "Behold, I am making all things new." His miracles are signs that our exile is coming to an end, that our homeland is almost within sight, just over the western horizon, where even now it's being prepared for us. And the promise is that the exiles will return to that homeland on the way of holiness, which is to say, no one who remains unclean in their sins will be able to travel this road or claim this homeland. Only those who are forgiven, only the redeemed and the ransomed of Yahweh will be able to walk on that highway back to the homeland. Those who've been redeemed and ransomed at the cross of Jesus, where he purchased us from our sins with his holy blood and with his suffering and death. And what a land it is that awaits us just over the western horizon, as it's described in Revelation 21. A fusion of heaven and earth, with no more separation between us and our God. A river of life that springs forth from the throne of the Lamb of God, just like in the Garden of Eden. And the tree of life is back again. And as paradise is restored to us. And no more death or disease or pain or in this renewed earth. No longer will we be banished from our homeland and from God's presence because of our sins. But Christ, our Lamb, sacrificed for the sins of the world, will be with us to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will be nothing unclean in that new heaven and that new earth. Nothing to frighten us ever again. Only sinners forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will enter that heavenly Jerusalem. And we will walk the streets of gold. Christians from every corner of the globe, entering that city where the gates are never shut. The desert restored, the world renewed. Listen again, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are anxious of heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. It's the perfect pep talk that we all need as we go back out into this wilderness of this present life, exiles, but now filled with hope and yearning. For God has said it, and it is done. You may be down on the scoreboard right now, but you won't be when it's all said and done, for Christ has made it sure. In his name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.